Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, joined now on the WadeFord.com hotline by Bud Elliott. Bud is with Tomahawk Nation. Let's preview those Florida State Seminoles, the defending national champions. And Bud, Florida State is pretty much going to be everybody's preseason number one. Is this team, are they going to be capable of making it two in a row in Tallahassee?
You know, it's obviously really tough to repeat, and very few teams in the modern era have been able to repeat. But I think if we look back to this time last year, everybody was pointing not 2013 as the year, but really as 2014 as the year that FSU would really be back and ready to roll. And I think really last year they almost arrived a year early. So I do think they have the talent in place. They lost important players off last year's team, but this is the most loaded roster in Tallahassee in almost two decades. So it's the talent is there to do it. You need the breaks along the way. You need to stay healthy. But certainly I don't think you want to bet on any other team other than Florida State to make a run at this thing.
How much, Bud, does this team remind you of those Bobby Bowden coach teams from the 1990s? Do you see a resemblance to what Coach Bowden had established?
Oh, there's just no doubt. You look at the starters, and then you look at a lot of positions. But I think this is really the key. The depth that Jimbo Fisher has been able to build up there and establish with the great strength conditioning program that they have there as well, and the phenomenal recruiting and scouting and development. The drop-off between your starters and your backups is really not that big in a lot of positions, and that's the key. So you can pull your guys if you need to. If you need to sit them out and rest them a little bit, if they're nursing an injury, you can do it. You can put them in the backup at a lot of spots and not see that kind of drop-off. And really, during the dynasty era, that's what FSU was able to do under Bobby Bowden.
Bud Elliott, Tomahawk Nation, as we're talking about those Florida State Seminoles on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's been an interesting offseason for Jameis Winston. How is he viewed by his coaches and his teammates? How popular of a guy is he in the locker room?
You know, he is a pretty popular guy. I think most dudes on the team realize, look, this is a guy that's never even been charged with a crime or even been arrested for anything. But yet, I think he's starting to realize, and probably a lot of the people around him are as well, if you're involved in anything even somewhat questionable, and you're that famous, it's going to blow up. And so he is having to change the way he acts, both behavior-wise, but also just how he deals with media, how he deals with image. And I think that's Jameis' big thing in the offseason. Continue to work, make sure you manage your workload now that baseball's over, get ready for football, break in these young receivers, but also be mindful of what you're doing, because if you're that famous, and he's certainly the most famous person in Tallahassee, probably more recognizable than governor than any people, everybody's watching, or at least somebody's always watching. So you really have to be mindful of that.
Bud Elliott from Tomahawk Nation, and he's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we preview the defending national champions, the Florida State Seminoles. You mentioned the fact that Jameis Winston kind of split his time playing baseball and along with spring football this year. How is his development, how did it come along during the spring? Was he able to develop spending so much time in baseball?
You know, they were very pleased with him throughout the spring. He's had to assume more of an expected leadership role this year because he is one of the veterans on the team now. Last year, he was actually battling for a spot, if you recall. It was him against Jacob Cooper, the guy who was now probably going to be the starter for Alabama over there, Nick Saban. But I think this year, because he is the obvious starter, his leadership demands have changed a little bit. And it's up to him to bring along these young receivers that Florida State is going to have them to depend on this year. As were last year, he already had Rashad Green. He had Kelvin Benjamin, who was coming along. And he had Kenny Shaw, who really was a fantastic number three receiver for him and probably as good as the number three receiver gets in the college game. So this year, he has to be more of the look-to leader as opposed to the guy that can provide some supplemental leadership.
Florida State's had some great quarterbacks over the years. I mean, Charlie Ward, Chris Winkie, just to name two. How would you rank Jameis Winston and his performance last year compared to some of the Florida State greats that came before him?
Well, if you look at the overall body of work, he clearly doesn't have what Chris and what Charlie had just because he's only played the one season. But his best season, I think, is pretty clearly better the Lincoln's best season or Ward's best season. It's the best quarterback season in Florida State football history. It's one of the best in college football history. So I think just based on the single season he has, if you look at the overall body of work, another good year out of him, we'll probably have him as the top quarterback ever played for Florida State.
Bud Elliott from Tomahawk Nation, and he's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about those Florida State Seminoles. Where's the concern for Jimbo Fisher and this Florida State staff right now going through the summer? What concerns them the most?
You know, I think it's complacency. Jimbo is a big-time Nick Saban disciple, and he's already told these guys, you're not defending any sort of title. Nobody can take that away from you. You are the 2013 national champions. But put that away now because you're not defending anything. You can't sit back and rest. You're now hunting for a new title. The 2014 title is not related to 2013. It's separate. And we've seen Alabama, they win a title, and then the next year they end up losing 3-4 ball games and saving in the following year. In the offseason, had discussed how he thought the team was complacent and certain guys didn't set up to fill leadership roles. So for Jimbo, I think it's avoiding complacency. I think it's making sure that some of the young guys in certain positions, like defensive tackle, come along and really buy into the offseason program as quickly as possible. And then I think it's finding not really defensive talent, but defensive leadership, because you lost a really important leader at every level of that defense. And defensive line, Timmy Jernigan is gone. At linebacker, Calvin Smith is gone. And in the secondary, you lose LaMarcus Joyner and Terrence Brooks. And all four of those guys were vocal, fiery leader types. And while the talent is certainly there to replace them, I don't know if the veteran leadership is there to replace them yet. So can somebody on that defensive side of the ball step up and lead and bang on doors at 5:30 in the morning and say, hey, it's time to get up. Let's go. Let's go work out, that type of stuff. So we'll see.
4 out of 5 back on the offensive line. They'll break in a new center this year. How good, potentially, could this offensive line be?
I mean, I just saw him today at the Florida State camp, and I've been around some NFL guys. A couple of those guys already look like NFL players, and it's really no surprise that when Mel Kiper debuted his big board, I think he had him as the number one and number three overall rated guards. The left tackle, Cam Irving, he has the number three left tackle in the country. I know Florida State staff believes right tackle Bobby Hart will actually be an NFL guard and will be drafted as a guard fairly highly when he comes out. And then they also signed two very good junior college offensive linemen to provide some instant depth as well. So this could easily be the best offensive line in college football. It's probably the best Florida State has had in 2 decades.
Bud Elliott from Tomahawk Nation with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is we talk about the Florida State Seminoles. If you watch Florida State play last year, the tight end in Nick O'Leary was certainly a big part of that offense, and kid had a fantastic year. I know he had a motorcycle accident in March. What has his recovery been like, and do you expect him to be 100% come the season opener?
Yeah, I actually ran into him 2 days ago, and he looks probably bigger than I've ever seen him. Definitely been hitting the weight room real hard after he had an unfortunate dirt bike accident there that held him out of the rest of spring practice. But they expect him to be 100% come fall. I believe he's already back fully working with the team in their offseason drills and whatnot. And then I'm glad you brought him up, because with the loss of Kelvin Benjamin and the loss of Kenny Shaw, he's going to see some more attention this year until some of these younger receivers step up and prove that they deserve double teams on the outside. But on the inside here, O'Leary's doing more of a marked man for defense.
You watched Jeremy Pruitt work last year as the defensive coordinator at Florida State. Tell Georgia fans what they can expect to see from him.
Jeremy is a tireless worker, a true film junkie. I just know from talking to other coaches on Florida State staff, he was in that office until late at night, constantly breaking down film. Really an excellent game planner, a guy who wanted to have an answer for everything that an opponent could throw at him. And the system that he has, it's Nick Saban's defense. It's that those combo coverages, the pattern matching, the stuff that Nick Saban developed with Bill Belichick when they were in Cleveland in the NFL together. And it's not easy. You know, if you look at what Jeremy Pruitt lucked into when he got to Florida State, he had Mel Kiper's number one and number two cornerbacks for this year's draft coming up in P.J. Williams and Ronald Darby. He had a second-round cornerback as his nickel. He had probably the best freshman safety in the country in Jalen Ramsey. He had a second-rounder on the other safety in and Terrence Brooks, and then he had the runner-up for ACC Defensive Rookie of the Year in Nate Andrews as their sixth guy. So I think it'd be unrealistic, unless Georgia has a lot of defensive talent in that second year that I don't know about, to expect the same type of turnaround. But I do think Jeremy Pruitt's a really good coach. I think he's a good teacher of defensive backs. And if you give him time, you let him recruit his kind of guys in there, and you let him mature, I think Georgia will have a really, really good defense. It's just because of the talent level that Florida State had when he got there, the results just look so amazing.
Bud Elliott, Tomahawk Nation, and he's with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking a little Florida State football here. Charles Kelly is going to take over now. People around here will remember him from his days at Georgia Tech. What do you expect to be different about this Florida State defense with Charles Kelly in charge?
You know, it's really not a whole lot. Jimbo has said that he wants him to run the exact same thing that Pruitt was running, and Jimbo went out of his way to call it the Florida State defense, which is essentially just Nick Saban's system that Jimbo had to face all the time, if you recall back when he was the offensive coordinator at LSU under Nick. So it's that kind of defense that he still wants him to run. I think there will be less in terms of what Charles wants to do differently and more of what does the different personnel dictate this year. And I think this year they're going to be able to blitz a little bit less because you have the natural pass rushers on the outside that last year's team didn't quite have with the young defensive ends. And you may need to stack the box a little bit because I think the defensive tackle quality on this year's Noles team will be a little bit less than it was last year, while the defensive end should be better.
But, you know, a lot of times whenever a legendary coach resigns, steps down, retires, whatever the word you want to use is, the guy that follows him a lot of times gets met with a lot of resistance from the fan base or a certain faction of the fan base and a certain faction of the boosters. Has the Florida State fan base, or are they united behind Jimbo Fisher now? Do you feel that they are all together and as one now? Are there still any holdouts from the Bowden era?
You know, they're really over the last 15 games or so, I think everyone has been converted. Because if you recall, Fisher had a really rough second year after kind of a surprisingly good 2010 season. In 2011, everyone got hurt. And so fans were really on him. And then in 2012, they end up losing that game to Florida at the end of the year. Still a 12-2 season, first BCS bowl in over a decade, you know, first BCS win in over a decade. But for a lot of fans, it kind of felt hollow, particularly because the schedule was weak that year. So going into 2013, a lot of people were sort of gearing up to lose a couple more ball games just because they had lost so much off that 2012 team. I think 11 guys were drafted. And not only do they not have a letdown, they win the national title. So I think to do that and to exceed the expectations in that way, and he did, and to have a 45-10 start to your career in Tallahassee with, you know, two conference titles and a national championship and a Heisman Trophy win already, I think there's very, very few people who aren't sold. And if there are people who are not sold, A, I haven't really seen them, and B, I'm not really sure what else Jimbo could do to win them over.
Bud Elliott, Tomahawk Nation. Bud, appreciate the time, man. Great to talk a little Seminoles football, and we'll do it again as we go through the summer.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it.
Bud Elliott from Tomahawk Nation. Check him out. And again, Bud joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.